Okay, good evening. We will continue now with Masechas Beitza Daf Chav Tez Mebez. We're going to begin the top line on the top of the page. Even though I know the other night you got seven lines down, we'll start from the top of the Sugya. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Shonen Kemach B'Yamtif. Mishum Rabbi Pepias, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira, Amum Shonen. So the Brice over here records Machlogas Tanoim as to whether or not it is permissible on Yamtif to re-sift flour. The Tanakama says, Ein Shonen, which means you cannot go back and sift something that had already been sifted beforehand in order to produce a finer flour. And the reason why this is prohibited, said Rashi, is because this could have been done on Erev Yom Tov. You didn't have to wait until now, and so therefore it's an unnecessary tircha. Mishum Rabbi Pepias, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira Amar Shonen. However, the Braisa records this dissenting view that says it is permissible. And says Rashi, deleka tircha, because this is not something which requires any great effort. And furthermore, says Rashi, it is evident that you are sifting flour that was already sifted beforehand. And so therefore, this is not in any way resemble the malach of merakid, which is, this doesn't resemble what, this doesn't seem like normal sifting, which would be a problem of boder. V'shavin shimnafal esochan suar o kiseim shonen. However, the Braisa says that both Tanakama and Rabbi Pius, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseira, agree that if a suar, a pebble, o kiseim, or a splinter, a piece of wood, falls into the flour, at that point it is permissible to go ahead and to sift it, because this is not something that could have been done beforehand, because this just happened right now on Yontif. The Gemara now continues with another Braisa. Tani Tana Kamidu Ravina. The following was taught before Ravina this Braisa. Ein Shonen Kemach B'Yontif. Aval Nafal Tzor Kisim B'Orer B'Yado. However, if what? If a Tzor Kisim falls inside, so then you can be B'Orer, you could remove it B'Yado with your hand, but you cannot use an actual Kli to do this. Right? So Omalei, so Ravina said to the one who mentioned this braisa beforehand, Kol Shekein Daser. Because according to you that say what, you cannot go ahead and use a sieve in this situation. You cannot sift it in the normal fashion, but you could use your hand. So Kol Shekein Daser, the Havali Kaborer. This should be even more of a problem than a place than the case of re-sifting flour, because this is mamish something which resembles borer. Says Rashi, kolchkin also the mechzik borer, who borer of malachahi kehar kada. This is considered to be an of malacha like sifting. Vashone merakid. However, re-sifting flour is not really merakid. Shari nira shakol yotziv in kansubin, because you see that, you know, there's no real sediment, there's no real psolus that's left in the flour. Really, it's very fine and clear to begin with. So all you're doing is taking flour which is already pretty clean and just cleaning it a little more thoroughly. So continues Gemara, Doresh Rava Bar Rav Huna Zuti Apischa Denar Da Shonin Kemach B'Yamtiv. So Rava Bar Rav Huna darshined at the entranceway to the city of Nahar Da'a that you can be shown in Kemach B'Yamtif. You can re-sift flour on Yamtif. Amlur of Nachman, Puke v'amrulei la'aba shkila tivusach ushtia chizrei. Puk chazi kamahulasa hadron b'Nahar Da'a. So Rav Nachman heard that Rav Huna was standing at the entrance to Nahar Da'a and declaring this great heter that you can be shown in Kemach B'Yamtif, that you can re-sift flour on Yamtif. He said, tell them that they should go out. They should say to Abba, meaning they should say, this was respectful way referring to Rav Bar Rav Huna, shkila tu vasach, that his goodness has been taken, ushtia chizri, and has been cast onto the thorn. Says Rashi, ein onu machzik in l'chatova bekach. In other words, even though he issued this great heter, it doesn't really do us anything good. He hasn't really done anything. And the great Tova, Natuli Tova Sechum, tell us alakotzim. this favor, so to speak, has been taken and been cast figuratively on the thorns. Why? Because it says, go out, puchazi, go out and look. Take a look how many people there are sifting on Yom Tov in the Harda. Meaning, this is the practice here. The common practice is that people re-sift on Yom Tov. So this great kula is not really a chiddush here at all. And he's saying, you know, he hasn't done it any great favors here, because this heter is already very well known. Says the Gemara, Devisudur of Yosef, Niala Kimcha Agava de Mulasa. Rabbi Yosef's wife used to go ahead and sift flour, again, re-sift it for the second time, Agava de Mulasa, literally on the back of the sieve. And she would do it this way, says Rashi, in order that it should be done with a shinoi, because obviously there was some concern over here regarding the permissibility of re-sifting flour, and therefore was the practice of his wife to do it with a shinoi. So Amullah, so Rabbi Yosef said to his wife, Chazi da'ana rifta ma'alai sabina, which means, look, see, that I want a very pure flour. I want my flour to be very sifted very, very well. And if you're going to do it in this unusual fashion, so it's going to prevent you from being able to really sift it properly. So basically what he was telling his wife is, this chumrah is not necessary. Please don't do this, because you're using a shinoi, which is actually going to affect the final product. Rabbi Yosef Paskin, that his wife can go ahead and re-sift flour in the normal fashion. And finally, the Gemara brings one additional maisa on this issue. Devisudur of Ashi, Niyalo Kimcha Agava de Psora. Rav Ashi's wife used to go ahead and re-sift flour, literally on the back of a psora, says Rashi, of a shulchan, of the table. Says Rashi that the table, actually, she says, Sheish La Toch, it had like a hollow center. Sounds like they used to turn the table upside down, and she would go ahead and sift the flour in this hollow space in the inverted table. So Ravashi, Hodi Don, Bar Se de Rami Bar Chama. So Ravashi said about his wife, he said, this wife is the daughter of Rami Bar Chama. But Rami Bar Chama, Mara de Uvadahava. Says Rashi, he was a medaktik b'maisav. He was a person who was a very, very medaktik, he was very medaktik in mitzvos, he did everything properly. And I'm certain that if she had not seen this in her father's home, she would never do it here. So as the previous story, Rabbi Yosef seems to have objected to his wife's chumrah and said, please, if you're going to re-sift flour on Yom Tov, do it in the normal fashion, because when you do it with the shinoi, it affects the process and the final product. Ravashi defended his wife's practice of re-sifting with the shinoi, even though it seems like the shinoi that she used was an even greater shinoi. At least Rabbi Yosef's wife used a sieve. She used the back of it, but okay. But she used the instrument that is normally used for sifting. And Rav Ashi's wife took the table and turned it inside out, and that's how she did it. But he defended it by saying that obviously this is something that she learned by her father, Rabbi Bar Chama. And therefore, the practice must be justified. Continues the next mission, the final Mishnah in the Perek, the Chavtesim Beis, says the Mishnah, now again, this is somewhat of a new topic. We'd previously seen that if a person goes ahead and acquires certain goods and merchandise on Yom Tov, you're not permitted to discuss prices, you cannot talk about measurements and weights. All of these types of discussions around a transfer of merchandise is something which is derech mekach u'memkar. This is part of the normal manner of doing business. And this is asur on Yom Tov because this is considered uvda d'chol. So now this Mishnah talks about some of the parameters of what may or may not be said. Holech adam etzel chanvani aragil etzlo. A person is permitted on Yom Tov to go over to a chanvani meaning somebody who he knows personally and someone who he's accustomed to doing business with. So there's already a relationship here. There's a relationship of trust, and there's no issue that maybe the Chanvani is concerned that maybe he's not going to come back and pay. So he can go to such a person, and he could say to him, "Tainli beitzim ve'egozim v'minyan." He can say to him, "Give me a dozen eggs." He can tell him, "Give me a certain number of nuts." The idea is over here, he's giving him an actual number, but this is not considered mekach u'memkar. This is not considered to be u'derech mekach u'memkar. And even though they're sort of talking business, since this is a chanvani, which is ragel atzlo, it's understood that he's not going to be paying him now. They're always hanging out together. He's always bringing him money later. He lets him pay. So even though he says, "Give me a dozen eggs," we're not concerned that in this particular context, this is going to create the impression that there's mekach u'memkar going on. Shachin derech bala bayis lios mona b'soch beisa. Because after all, it's normal for people to even count inside of their own home. They'll sometimes count, when they're preparing a certain recipe, when a person is giving something to a guest, if somebody's there. So they'll count. We sometimes count how many units of food that we're using. This is not unusual. So over here, since you're dealing with a chanvani, haragil atzmo, so this is etzla, this is permissible. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, so Gemara quotes the Braisa, holech adam etzo roe haragil atzmo. A person can go to a roe, a shepherd, whom he's accustomed to doing business with. He knows him, again, and there's trust. Vamalon, he could say to him, tenli gedi achad atole achad. He could say to him, they're not talking money or anything like that, but he could say to him, give me one gedi, or one tolet. So he's telling him to give him a sheep or a goat. Eitzel tabach, a person can go to a butcher, haragel atzlo, to a shochet, to a butcher who he knows well. Vamalon, he could say, tenli kaf achas yorech achach. Achas, he could tell him, give me part of the body, give me part of the leg of the body. Vechein, similarly, Eitzel patam, a person can go to one who is who fattens birds. Haragel atzlo, Vamalon, he could say, tenli tor echad ogoz al echad. Go ahead and give me a bird. Eitzel nachtam, a person can go to the baker. Haragel atzlo, Vamalon, tenli kikor echad ogluska yachas. A person can say, give me a loaf of bread. Give me a cookie, a wafer. Ve'itza chanvani haragel atzlo. And finally, as we saw in the Mishnah, a person can go to a chanvani, to a merchant who he knows well. But Omelo can say to him, "Tain li esrim beitzim, o chamisha megozim, asara afraskin, chamisha rimonim, esra gechad." He can say to him something like the following: "Give me 20 eggs. Give me 50 nuts. Give me 10 peaches. Give me 5 pomegranates. Give me 1 esrog. Bevajlo yaskilo schum mida." As long as he does not mention schum mida. What's schum mida? Says Rashi, kav o kabayim. You shouldn't give him an actual measure. You shouldn't say, "Give me 5 ounces of nuts." You shouldn't say, "Give me a gallon of milk." Right? You shouldn't talk in actual measurements. But it's okay to say, "Give me a number of how many units it is that he wants." That's how Rashi explains schum mida. Shimon Elazar omer ubavachlo yaskilo schum mekach. Shimon Elazar says no. The concern over here is not that he says a schum mida, meaning not that he gives an actual number, but schum mekach, says Rashi, means dummim. They can't talk money, but they can talk measurements. So it's okay for a person to go to a chanvani who's ragel atzlo, and he could say to him, "Please give me, kavo kabayim, give me a certain measure of whatever it is, of beitzim, or egozim, or fraskin, etc." That's permissible. So that's how Rashi learns this idea of schum mida, schum mekach. We have a few minutes remaining, so let's take a look at Tosfos. Less Tosfos in the Perek, Shlod Yazkilo, schum mida, Perish Rashi, kavo kabayim. Rashi learns that what does it mean, schum mida, kavo kabayim, schum mekach, shlod yomalo tein li egozim, bedin rechod, o b'shnayim. And according to Rashi, when it says that according to Rav Shimon Elazar, you cannot actually discuss schum mekach, that means they shouldn't talk money. You shouldn't say to him, "Give me however many nuts I can get for a dinar, for 2 dinar." The kasha says Tosfos the pshita daser. This pshat in Rashi is difficult. First of all, the way Rashi learns Rav Shimon Elazar is that what, you're not allowed to talk money. Of course, you can't talk money. That should be obvious. No one would say that that's permissible. That's number one. Ode, Amai kamar schum mida. Why does it say, if this is right, why does it say schum mida? Havali the name of Vashla Yaskir mida. It says schum. It should say as long as I don't talk measurements. According to Rashi, the whole thing is about a measure. So I'm supposed to say schum. Basulo, you don't have to say any more than that. L'chein nirali k'rabbeinu Chananel. So therefore, says Tosfos, I think the rest, the proper pshat over here is like Rabbeinu Chananel. The goris schum minyan. It says not schum mida like we have in our Gemara, but the Gemara says a little differently. A little different schum minyan, v'koyel el, and really it's going back to what we said earlier. V'achi perish, and this is the pshat. Marza, you said the yelech adam etzel chanvani haragil etzlo, that a person can go to a chanvani who he knows, he's accustomed to doing business with. V'yomlo, we could say it intainly chamisha gozim or asar fraskin or bevad shelo yasker schum minyan. He shouldn't say in Tain Li Asore Gozim Akvanasati Li Shloshim Vimkenani Chai Vuchamem. Person shouldn't say like this. Give me 10 nuts, and you already gave me 30, and so therefore I owe you for 40 in total. Benakol. So that's the opinion of the Tanakama, that it's Schum Minyan, that he shouldn't do the math and say, well, I need 40 in total. You gave me 10 already. Give me 30 more, vice versa. Shimon Omer, ubavad shelo yasker schum mekach. Shimon disagrees. He says, as long as they don't talk schum mekach, shelo yomalo, you shouldn't say, ten li agozim b'shisha pshitin. Go ahead and give me enough nuts for six pshitin. Ukvar nasati li kach, and you already gave me this. V'mkein ani chayv locha mikol yudbeis pshitin. So therefore, this is how much I owe you in total. However, according to Rav Shimon, it is permissible to go ahead and talk schum minyan, total numbers. In other words, to do the math. So Rabbeinu Chananel, it's quoted by Tosfos here, has a different pshat in the Gemara. The question over here is about just talking numbers in general, and specifically the schum adding, you know, what you gave me beforehand, keeping a tab beforehand. I took this, now I got this. So that already, working these cheshbonos on Yom Tif, is improper. According to Tanakama, you shouldn't discuss these numbers at all if you're adding numbers. And according to Reb Shimon, it's permissible as long as you don't discuss money. Why is this not pshita? Why is this not? Well, hold on one sec. Why is this not obvious? Because that was Tosfos' question. Is this obvious? I guess the answer is because they're not deciding now how much it's worth. He's not saying, here's how much you owe me. He's just saying, give me enough. It goes in for six pshitin, and I already gave before, and so this now I owe now you know I owe you yud beis pshitin. V'chein yisa b'tosefta u'bahag mikan yesh lizor shalol lahazkir afilu schum minyan lifi shadom alamekach umemkar. And this is brought down as well, that from here we see that a person should be careful not to mention again the schum minyan, the total tab, because this is doma to mekach umemkar. Yeah.
So what is the chenvani doing in this whole situation? It's all by memory. We haven't been talking about the chenvani at all. Like, you're going to come back tomorrow, I have to remember everything.
Uh-huh. Do you use paper clips or something?
Well, I guess, again, that's the reason why, you know, the reason why the stipulation seems to be over here, that it is by a chenvani haragel etzlo.
Right.
So Rashi stresses that point, that there's trust, and therefore...
He could have in his mind the amount he owes him before the amount he owes him.
Yeah, but it sounds like the chenvani...
There are people coming in, they're chenvani or ragil.
No, but that's exactly the point. The point
is that he's ragil, so he knows him, so he...
I think the point is the ragil... The chenvani... I think that's the point. The chenvani is not keeping score. He is relying on the fact he trusts this guy. So you know how much you owe me, you know how much you owe me, that's it. So tomorrow, everybody come and they'll pay me. How much? I don't know. I'm not... And that's why it has to be the Afghan ragil that's low, because then... This sort of arrangement is not something which seems to have the appearance of mekach umemkar, as opposed to if it was not ragel etzlo. So it's inevitable that the chenvani is going to have to be doing calculations in his mind, or maybe even with his mouth, because he's going to be concerned that he may not get his money. So I think that's why Rashi stresses over here twice, that there's trust over here. That's the idea of being ragel. That's slow.
So, by the tabach, there would be a measurement because he would have to at least know somewhat of what he owes him. Is that the